You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, I think we're 12 days away now from the start of the NFL season, at least for the Rams, the start of the NFL season, Sunday Night Football. Against the Chicago Bears. So I want to ask you about, we're talking about Rondo, I want to ask you one more thing. It appears that, according to Shams Charania, that center DeAndre Jordan and the Nets are working toward parting ways via a buyout. Jake Fisher, who writes for Bleacher Report, says this, one suitor to keep an eye on, sources say, should DeAndre Jordan and the Brooklyn Nets reach a contract buyout, the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, they've got 13 players under contract. They've got two roster spots open. Do you think the Lakers will, or do they, have any interest in DeAndre Jordan?
Yes. I think that he is a really strong option for them if he gets bought out. But it's a big, there's a lot, this one to me is a, there's a lot of ifs. Okay. They have to decide whether to buy him out. He has to decide if he wants to go. And remember, he was part of the original big three there in Brooklyn.
It was, yeah, he was.
DeAndre Jordan, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant a couple of years ago. So he hasn't played as much as he wanted. But remember, DeAndre made, he has a house here in LA. He has a lot of relationships here in LA, friendships. And that's why, you know, the Lakers do have that role. I mean, I think when you think about a guy like that, if he wants to be bought out, he has to leave some money on the table, most likely.
Yep.
Or they can trade him someplace to a team that has salary cap space or whatever. So I think Rondo was an easier person to, you know, say, okay, he's most likely going to be bought out because Memphis had 19 roster players on their roster and you can only have 15. So they had four extra players. They had to do something with them. They either had to trade them or buy them out. So Rondo made sense to buy out. But DeAndre, to me, he can still play for Brooklyn. He had some value in some of their matchups because they still need a big center who can play with DeAndre. When they play Philly, who guards
right.
Joel Embiid?
Sure, sure.
They still need a guy like that. So it's a question of, you know, does he want to leave any money on the table? Is there a trade they can find for him? You know, a team like Oklahoma City that, you know, they're positioned to just take players into salary cap space. There's a lot of different teams out there that you could see him move to and they would get something for him. And then they would control whether he does a buyout or not. But I think the Lakers make a lot of sense for DeAndre. And you weren't here for this part last week, but we were talking about ideas of where they would go. The Lakers still need another center. They still need another big guy who in the mold of Dwight Howard. And Mark Sand had a story last week about whether or not Marc Gasol was going to stay on the team. Personally, I think
he's a buyout candidate.
I don't know if he's a buyout candidate or a trade candidate. Like I think it's more up to him. Like, did he have a good experience here in Los Angeles last year? Would he rather go someplace else? More like, would he rather go back to Spain and play his last year or two?
See, I'd rather have DeAndre Jordan
for Barcelona.
I'd rather have DeAndre Jordan than Marc Gasol.
I don't know if it's a choice of either or. I think you can have both. They have room. I mean, there's ways they can have both of them on the roster. The question is, does Mark want that? His big brother Pau went and played for Barcelona last year. That's where they sort of came of age. Like, would it make more sense to end his career in Spain? If I'm Mark, I stay right where I am because last year didn't work out the way anyone wanted to. But they are definitely in a position where I think he would start for the Lakers. I think he should start for
you
the Lakers.
You think Jordan would start for the Lakers?
No, Marc Gasol.
Marc Gasol. Yeah, I think he probably does start. He
I
probably
right
does
now,
start because
I don't think
AD doesn't want to play the five. You probably start with AD at the four, right?
Yeah, you need some shooting. You need some shooting in that starting lineup. If it's going to be Westbrook, LeBron, and AD, you need
but
shooting around.
But you need some rim
them,
protection.
So say,
last year, we didn't have the rim protection that we had the year we won the
except
championship.
For you, you're right, but they also have Anthony Davis who can give that to you. Dwight's better as coming off the bench. Dwight,
yeah, no question.
The role Dwight was in that championship year, he was coming off the bench. JaVale started most of those games, if you remember.
Yep.
And, you know, I think Marc Gasol, like, the whole reason they signed him last year is because he can shoot, high basketball IQ, great passer, and theoretically can still be a good defensive player. Now, I don't, it depends on what kind of shape he comes in and how much he has left physically, but from a team defense perspective, he's not as bad. He was not as bad last year as people make it out to be. If you look at the, all the advanced stats, he wasn't as bad. And I think if he, it's a matter of what kind of shape does he come in.
Advanced stats are one thing, but I mean, just the eye test, I don't think he had a good season at all.
No, he did. He had a better season when he came back. Like I thought Mark came into camp not in great shape, didn't play all that well, got COVID, took a while. He was out for a long time with COVID.
Yeah, he was.
Remember.
He was.
Then he got replaced by Andre Drummond, which had to hurt the pride. Started playing a whole lot better, though, after he had a little competition there. And by the end, they started him in that last, was it the last game or the last second half?
Well, they got to start somebody at the five that's not Anthony Davis, even though that's their effective lineup, most effective.
Yeah, and if you're DeAndre Jordan, and I don't know if he'll get a buyout done, okay, or if he'll get traded. There's still a few things that need to happen. But I've heard that for months, that this was a good landing spot. And you know why? Because he would have a good role on the Lakers. They have playing time.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. Again, that's been reported now today that DeAndre Jordan is potentially a buyout candidate for the Nets. All right, so Momo, in New York, and I lived in New York, I worked in New York, I've been to Mets games, I know exactly what that crowd is like. They have been booing the Mets relentlessly, particularly the hitters. Javi Baez, Kevin Pillar, and Francisco Lindor. Booing those guys relentlessly. And in fairness, they have really, really struggled. Javi Baez has struggled since he got traded over from the Cubs.
Lindor has been awful.
And they paid him just a ton of money.
Yep.
Lindsay saw that coming, right, Lindsay?
I sure did. Hate to say I told you so. And you want to know what's really funny? His nickname here in Cleveland was Mr. Smiles, which was like the most stupid, nerdy thing ever. And I saw a guy walking around the other day in the grocery store with a Mr. Smiles jersey on, like a 12 Lindor Indians jersey. And instead of Lindor, it said Mr. Smiles. And I took a picture of it and I sent it to like my dad and my uncle. And I was like, I wouldn't be caught dead walking around Cleveland in this right now after everything he just did.
So, in particular, Javi Baez, since he got traded at the trade deadline, is batting .207 with 3 homers and 5 RBIs in 16 games. That's been a disaster. And Baez, by the way, is a free agent after this season. He's a walk-away free agent. When they were booed yesterday, they decided, I don't know if it was Baez that led the charge. It seems like he's the one that's getting all the heat. After great at-bats, they gave thumbs down to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
They basically signaled thumbs down to you guys, to you fans who've been booing us, boo you back. Now, Momo, what's your take on this? Because they've been warned now by the team, hey, we treat our fans well. The Mets are understandably frustrated, obviously. They think that they will not tolerate any player gesture that is unprofessional in its meaning or is directed in a negative way toward our fans. I will be meeting with our players and staff to convey this message. That's according to Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well, Steve Cohen is also the guy who on August 18th tweeted, love owners with a Twitter account that nobody reads, that nobody like censors, okay? Like an uncensored Twitter account. It's hard to understand how professional hitters can be this unproductive. The best teams have a more disciplined approach. The slugging and OPS numbers don't lie. That's your owner. That's your owner tweeting.
So they're being heckled by their owner and heckled by their fans. And they give the thumbs down. What do you think of the decision on the players' part to give that thumbs down? They've been warned now not to do it. That will not be tolerated. But do they have a point?
Nope. Boo all you want, Mets fans. I got to be real with you. Like, I didn't like it when the Dodger fans booed Kenley Jansen.
Hate
you know why?
I hate that.
I hate it. I think you should. If you boo Kenley Jansen, you get your fan card revoked, man. That guy is your all-time leading saves leader. He's having a rough week or two. But, like, he has a track record to stand on, right? You don't boo your legends when they're – he's not washed. He's not out there clubbing and
hey,
showing
up like
he's
got 29 saves, for God's sake.
Yeah, he had a bad week. Like, that to me is a real quick hook. But the Mets have been awful this year. And this is the big part, Francisco Lindor held out for a giant contract, and he has been awful. And the reason I know that is that I have him on my fantasy team.
Oh, there
okay?
you go. There
Brutal.
You go.
That guy is terrible. Okay. He gets it going for a couple of games. But if you're going to make like $300-400 million, you deserve every boo you get if you stink. All right. Like, if you hold out for that much money, you better deliver. And Javi Baez, you just got there, man. You just got traded there. You don't get to say anything to the fans. Okay. Like, Javi Baez has not been good since he went to New York.
Here's what Baez says. He says, we're not machines. We're going to struggle 7 times out of 10. It just feels bad when I strike out and get booed. It doesn't really get to me, but I want to let them know that when we're successful, we're going to do the same thing to let them know how it feels. I am with Javi Baez on this.
Are you really?
I absolutely am. You know what? I hate fans that boo their own players. I don't understand it. I hated when Kenley Jansen did it. I think Mets fans are ridiculous for doing it. And you know what? I think players are allowed to defend themselves. In the same way fans are allowed to boo, players should be allowed to show their displeasure with the fans. I'm totally all in on the, sure, give the thumbs down to the fans. They do pretty much suck. You are struggling. You're having a bad run, but you've only been there 16 games, and they're passing judgment on you. I'd give thumbs down. I'm all for it.
No, if Kenley Jansen wants to give a thumbs down, I'm fine. He's earned the right to give
a
thumbs down.
Kenley Jansen able to do it and Javi Baez is not?
Because he has a track record. Like, he's earned that. Mace, if you have a bad show today, we have a bad show, and people are like, Mace, you suck. Okay, you can be like, hey, I've been here for 20 years. Like, I'm allowed to have a show where you didn't like or whatever it is. But when you just show up in town and then you immediately get hurt, which is what Baez did, got hurt, not his fault, sorry, but like hasn't been all that great since he got traded. Then Lindor, who took all that money and held out and pushed the Mets really, like took all these, you always say, this is your line, undersell, overdeliver. You cannot oversell and underdeliver. So these guys who did that, this is what happens when you underdeliver. And it's the same problems over, like, I'm saying it's not a general black and white thing to me. It's not, okay, you can give the fans thumbs up or thumbs down. I'm saying it's conditional based off of who's doing the booing and who's doing the thumbs down. So to me, you can't boo Kenley Jansen for a bad week or two. He's your all-time saves leader. This guy's been there for you for a decade. He's allowed to have a bad week.
Right, but he's been there for the blink of an eye. 16
you know what you
games,
do?
Anybody can
you
have
say
a bad
something,
16 games.
So say something in your post-game interview, okay? Say something like, hey, man, I just got here, and it's really – say what he just said in his post-game interview. Don't do the thumbs
he
down.
He did.
Say it in your post-game interview, and that's it.
He did
but
say
these, it. These fans in New York, okay, first of all, this is New York, okay? If you can't handle New York, see you later. Get out of New York, like – that's a tough town. Not everybody can play there.
Momo, 16 games. Did anybody boo Cody Bellinger when he struggled for
at least 16 games? He won an MVP. But he has some credibility.
Javi Baez has been one of the elite hitters in the game.
Elsewhere. It's like when Steve Nash came here. Steve Nash was a great in Phoenix. If Steve Nash had the kind of end to his career in Phoenix that he had in L.A., never would have got booed. His fans would have felt bad for him. They would have been like, that's okay, Steve. Thanks for the memories. But when you get traded to a new place, you have no institutional history there. You have no goodwill built up. This is what happened. Sorry. Like, it's rough.
Right, but why shouldn't the players be able to express that they hate being booed?
Express it in your post-game interview. Express it on social media. Do not do that on the field. Like, that is the church of baseball. Sorry to quote Bull Durham to you, okay? But, like, these fans, like, people have been through rough things out there in the world in 2020, 2021. They're spending their money. They're spending their time to come watch you play. Even if you think that's wrong, like, I don't like it when the fans boo Cody, or I don't like when they boo Kenley, because I'm like, those guys have earned the right to have an off year or an off week or whatever it is. But when you have guys who just got there, Lindor and Baez just got there. Baez, I feel a little bit worse for because it's not like he got all that money from the Mets.
No,
but Lindor, when you're making that much money,
16 games.
Yeah, okay. So say, hey, it's really hard to hear the boos when I'm just trying to get my feet wet. I got traded. Okay, you say that post game, but don't do that on the field. You don't disrespect baseball like that.
Yeah, for me, if fans are allowed to boo, players are allowed to express their displeasure with the fans. And by the way, so he hits a big 440-foot home run. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, fans are like, yeah, yeah, Javi. No, screw you. Thumbs down. You guys were booing me last week.
You know what the headline of the New York Daily News was?
No.
Mets, go to hell, fans.
All right, I want to open the phones on this. Does anybody support my side of this, which is it's okay for these players, Javi Baez, to say thumbs down to you guys. You're not allowed to cheer for me now that I hit a big home run. You have been awful to me since I got here for 16 games. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. We will dig into that coming up next. Don't forget, Radio Tinder about a half hour from right now. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I like the way he says, so enjoy that. Mace is back. So enjoy that. All right, so we're talking about that situation in New York where Javi Baez hits a gigantic home run. He's been booed relentlessly by Mets fans, steps on home plate, and immediately gives a big thumbs down to the crowd. And whether that's acceptable or not, the Mets say it's not. I think it's absolutely fine for players to respond to booing. Momo disagrees. Let's go to Mike and Downey. Mike, you're on 710. What's up, man? Hey, Mike.
I believe because players are they're people too, you know?
They are people too. Absolutely. So what do you think of
and so, well, I think Baez might have just warded the press conference. Maybe the whole language barrier, maybe he didn't, like, articulate the right way. But I see where he's coming from. I mean, he just got traded over there, high expectations in New York, and then you're getting booed left and right, and you just got there. It's like, what kind of hospitality is that?
So are you okay with the thumbs down?
Yeah, I think it's just a way for them to express themselves without having to raise their voice. Kind of, you know, like, it's just letting them know that we're listening to you. Just to give you a heads up, we hear the boos. And, yeah. You know, it affects them, you know? They're people.
Mike, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I'm with him. I mean, you're going to scuffle. You play baseball. And as Javi Baez said, you're going to make an out 7 out of 10 times. If you're great, 7 out of 10 times. You know, you're going to scuffle at times. And you're going to go through bad stretches. And he's gotten on a bad stretch since he got traded over from the Cubs. He's only played 16 games there. Hits a towering home run. And all of a sudden, the fans turn. They're like, yeah, we love Javi Baez. Yeah. And then he gives the thumbs down. You're not allowed to cheer me if you've been booing me relentlessly. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, look, you could say that.
You said you'd be okay if it was Kenley Jansen. You said it would be okay if Kenley Jansen did.
I think it depends on what player it is. Like when you get traded, like if I go and I start working someplace else, I feel like you have to start over with everybody. You can't just like walk in the room and act like you're the, you know, you own the place. Even if they made an investment in you, even if they went out and traded for you, like you get some goodwill when you first start because they probably went out and got him. They wanted him on the team. But when you are the new guy, okay, and this happens even when you stay at a place, when you get a new manager, when you get a new GM, whoever it is, it's like you're starting over. Whatever you did last week, you know, or for the last manager, the last GM, that doesn't matter. So like in Chicago, easy media market, People are used to losing there. People are used to losing with the Mets too. But when you just get there, you have no institutional credibility built up. Like, you didn't, Javi won a World Series with the Cubs. He's a gold, like what I said about Kenley, he's an all-time save leader. He's done so much for the Dodgers over the years. I don't think you get to boo him after a bad week. Now, if he has a bad week and you find out later that he's been out clubbing and not taking care of his body and, you know, whatever, like people used to do bad. I'm trying to remember the story, the pitcher who was here who used to do, John, what is his name? The guy from the Red Sox who came
what
over.
What did he do?
He didn't show up at the park sometimes. Like, I mean, even okay. John, you know, Adrian Gonzalez.
I can't think who that is.
You know what? I'm going to think of it in a second. Okay.
let me get another call.
John Lackey. I got it.
John Lackey. There you go. Yeah. Let me get another call in here. Let's go to Daniel in Upland. Daniel, you're on 710. What's up?
How you doing? I agree with Momo on this one. And I'll tell you why, because, you know, Baez, yeah, he got traded, but, you know, he hasn't done anything to turn the crowd around on his favor. You know, when Trey Turner came to the Dodgers, what did he do? He performed. He showed his action. He showed what kind of player he is. Baez hasn't done that.
Yeah, but you can't possibly believe, Daniel, that he's not out there trying to do it. He's, as you said,
I'm not saying he isn't, but he shouldn't get butt hurt when he gets booed. That's part of the game. For over a century, fans have showed their dislike on how the team plays. I mean, come on. Are you happy with the way the Dodgers have been playing lately? I'm not. Do they deserve to get booed? No, they're world champions. But, you know, when the proof is in the pudding, they got to show up and play.
Yeah, I've just got no problem. In the same way fans can express themselves, I think players can express themselves too. Thanks for the call,
but
Daniel.
See, the owners of the ball club, it's their club. They get to determine whether you can or not.
Right, and they
you work for them, and the fans. You work for the fans also. They pay for you.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the phone call, Daniel. Good call. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why a player can't express himself in the same way fans express themselves.
I think it's which player and why they're saying it, why they're doing it.
I'm with you, Mason. I think that it would be different if he, like, threw up the middle finger and flipped off the team. It's a freaking thumbs down. Like, this is not the end of the world, people. They gave a thumbs down, which is their signal of, like, disapproval for you, booing for them. Now, if they flipped people off, if they flipped the fans off, then I would say
a different animal.
Totally different story. Suspend them. That's awful. That's rude. That's, like, a crass gesture. But giving a thumbs down is, like, the most tame way that you could possibly convey to them that you're disappointed with them booing them. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I think we got a Mets fan on the line. Let's go to Earl in Anaheim. Earl, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Going good. Hey, so you're a Mets fan?
45 years, 50 years.
Okay.
Let me tell you, I watch every game.
Okay.
These dudes, Lindor, Baez, Porto, McNeil, Alonso, these guys are the worst fundamentally sound baseball players in the world. You played the Dodgers a couple weeks ago, and you beat us 4-0, and they had four runs on sacrifice fly.
Right.
We got a total of 12 the entire year. So in less than a game, they had a quarter of the number of sacrifice flies that we had. We got guys on first and third, no outs, and we don't score runs. You can't do that.
Okay, but Earl, Javi Baez is a free agent after this year. You can't possibly believe that Javi Baez is going up there without an intention of driving the baseball, of putting a barrel on the ball.
Let me tell you. When you talk about driving the baseball, this guy is swinging at driving that 5 feet off the plate.
All right, thanks.
I don't even know what he said.
That guy sounded like a Mets fan, didn't he?
I'll tell you what, I'm booing his phone service.
The phone service.
Boo. Let's boo Momo's internet and his phone service.
I bet he's on Spectrum.
And plus, like, to your point, Ramona, about, you know, guys like proving it and like being proven commodities, like, they're both all stars. Like, Javi Baez won World Series
elsewhere.
They're in the prime, you know, they're in the prime of their career. I think they've proven it. And while, yes, this year has been disappointing, don't you think that it takes some time to adjust from, You know, you're on the Indians. You got Terry Francona as your manager, who's a very, like, you know, fundamental old school baseball manager.
Right, right.
And he's known to do things a certain way for all these years. You not only do you change managers and teams, but you're completely switching leagues. You're under all this pressure from, like, probably the softest media to, like, one of the most hard medias to deal with in the entire country. I feel like that all plays into this for both of them.
Yeah, it does. But
and again,
you're making, like, Lindor held out to make, what was it, Linz? $1 million more than Tatis?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, when you, I, mean, when
I
you
don't know that's,
like,
since when did you start holding people's salaries against them?
Okay, I want to go back.
Wait a minute. In the NBA, there are very unproductive guys who get really big salaries.
Yeah, okay. How did you feel about Luol Deng?
Well, we're still
paying.
How
did you feel about Mozgov? How did you feel about Steve Nash?
Right? But I would never boo them.
You would never boo Steve Nash, Mozgov, or Deng. You never complained about them on the radio.
I complained about them, but I wouldn't go to an arena and boo them. I didn't go to Staples Center and boo Steve Nash.
You didn't boo Deng? You didn't boo Mozgov?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't boo one of my own players. I want them to be successful. I'm rooting for them. I know they're doing the very best that they can. You can't possibly believe that going into free agent, Javi Baez is not trying to hit home runs, trying to drive in runs, trying to put a barrel on the ball. You can't possibly believe he's not trying to do that.
As he
said,
I think
he's
trying.
Human. Do you think it makes it better or worse? Easier or harder when the crowd is booing you?
Definitely harder. But you know what? Like, this is definitely harder, but there's a part of baseball that is a performance sport. And that's why I always say to people, like, when they're thinking about changing jobs or thinking about, you know, climbing the ladder, are you sure you want to? Are you sure you want to do that? Because the higher you climb, the more money you ask for, the harder the criticism, the bigger the spotlight on you is going to be. And Lindor put himself in this position. He forced his way out of Cleveland. He held out for $1 million more dollars than Tatis. Okay. When you do things like that,
didn't he just leave as a free agent, Lindsay?
No, he got traded.
He got traded with a 1 year, like, you know, he got traded at the deadline because they knew that they couldn't afford to pay him.
They couldn't afford him, right.
Yeah. But he made it very clear that he wanted more money elsewhere.
But how do you boo a guy, Momo, for just getting paid?
When he doesn't perform.
He's been there 16 games.
Did we not do a million shows on LA radio where Laker fans just complained and whined about Mozgov and Deng? And all they did was want to get paid. And all the Lakers did was pay them, but then they did not produce.
Jorge just texted me. He says that Luol Deng will make more this year than Dwight Howard and Carmelo Anthony combined.
Wow.
Wait, no. I saw this. It's actually more than Rondo, Dwight, and Carmelo combined. All three of them.
Wow. Yeah. Luol Deng still getting paid. But I don't blame the guy for that. Good for him.
Yeah.
Everybody should make
that
money.
But then
it's an open market. It's a free open market, especially in baseball.
Yeah.
There's no salary cap. Get what you can. Get when you have that opportunity. And I think, again, I think players have the opportunity to express themselves the way Javi Baez did, the way Francisco Lindor did, the way Kevin Pillar did. I have no issue with them doing that. They're allowed to respond to a fan base that has been outright hostile to them.
Sure. But just think about how hostile they're going to be with Javi now. He's going to get booed every time he steps to the plate.
If he keeps hitting towering 444 hit home runs, I don't think they're going to be booing him anymore.
As a competitor, when somebody boos you, the only answer is to show them that you're worth it, is to perform. That's the only thing you can really do to change the boos around. I mean, that is just the way of the world. If you have people have expectations for you and you do not meet them, you have to perform. And I think you cut your people who have earned credit, like Mace. I stay at ESPN and I am very happy in my job. And when I was out for 3 or 4 months after having a baby, I was really glad that I was in a job where people knew me and I'd established a lot of credibility established a lot myself, because I was like, well, you know, if I just started a new job and then I was out on maternity leave, everybody says they want to do the right thing. Everybody wants to treat you well. But you know what? when you miss 3 or 4 months, somebody else has to pick up the slack for you and all, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's the way of the world.
Right. But the people company like treated to talk about you it well. Openly.
Yeah. They treated me well. Cause I've
what if they hadn't, years. What if they hadn't treated you well? What would your response be? Which is what the fans are doing to these players.
Yeah. But you think about all those things when you decide when you're going to have kids, what your job situation is going to be. Like, I've had opportunities to leave ESPN over the years, but I stay because I'm somebody who stays because I like having established long-term relationships. I'm very comfortable. A lot of people here who I work with, like, I consider you and John, like, my family. Like, you guys are long-term friends. Like, I don't want to go start over at a new place where I'd have to build up my relationships and I have to build up that trust and credibility. Like, those are all the things you think about when you want to go get paid as a free agent. Right? Like, Lindor did really well for Cleveland. Those fans loved him. Those fans in Cleveland would have done – he could have a terrible season for them, and they would still stand by him. He wouldn't get booed in Cleveland because of what he's done over the years. But when you leave – like when Steve Nash, he did all that, had a great career in Phoenix. But then when he gets traded – now, it wasn't his fault he got traded, okay? The Lakers offered 2 first-round picks for him, and they wanted him. But he goes and gets – he's traded, and he has no credibility built up with Laker fans. He has not done anything for them. If anything, he's the guy who – they were still paying off those draft picks years later. He's
right.
They invested a lot in him. So were they understanding when he broke his leg in the second game of the year? Like, Damian Lillard fell into him. It was a really unfortunate freak accident. He's one of the greatest players of all time. And I kept saying it. I kept trying to stick up for Nash. Like, you have to respect this man and what he's done around the league. And the answer from Laker fans is like, yeah, he did that in Phoenix.
Yeah. I was probably on the radio complaining. I know I was on the air complaining. I definitely was on the air complaining. I definitely used the phrase, he's stealing money.
He's stealing money. Yeah. I mean, that's if he would have done that in Phoenix, where it took him forever to come back from that. So Damian Lillard, Steve Nash had the weirdest injury, and I didn't understand it until I had my own back problems, okay? Yep. He always has had back problems. He had a scoliosis, like it's just a curvature of your spine. So when he broke his leg, there's a nerve right there. It's the nerve that comes from your back, and it goes all the way from like your back down to your foot.
Okay, Dr. Clapper.
I know. I'm not doing Clapper video. Okay. But can I put the sound?
All right, I get it. I get it. He got hurt. Yeah.
Okay, so you got two boats, and they crash into it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But like he legitimately
got a back
injury.
It's a jelly donut, and some of the jelly has come out. That's what a herniated disc is. All right. Coming up next for you, I got a question that Donovan Mitchell asked on Twitter over the weekend that is fascinating. Is your vehicle due for service? Head into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. For over 30 years, Valvoline has provided quick and convenient automotive maintenance services for busy people just like you. No dragging the kids to a dirty waiting room. No, at Valvoline, you stay in your car safe while the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, more. Just pull up, drive in, drive out in about 15 minutes. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for location and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know, that storm is awful down in Louisiana. Oh. But can I just say, I watched a report from Al Roker last night, and he's standing, like, right in the middle of getting doused. It almost looks like somebody's throwing buckets of water at him. It's like you don't need to be in the storm to report on the storm. Mm. I've never understood why you stick somebody in the middle of a hurricane to report on the hurricane. We know what it looks like.
No,
you know what, Mace?
People like it. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. And you know what? Al Roker, he addressed that very thing today, I guess.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he was on, what was it, like MSNBC, you know? And people, he posted on Twitter because people were like, oh, man, not so much to your point, but like Al Roker, he's way too old to be out there in the middle of a hurricane reporting live, you know, about to get swept away. And he said, guess what? Screw you to people.
Stand in a safer place. He was getting absolutely doused, like buckets of water are coming at him. Take a few steps away from that so it doesn't look like you're going through a car wash.
I've seen
that. He said, hey, guess what? Screw you. Try to keep up, okay? Keep up. These young punks, I'll come after them. I'll drop them like a bag of dirt.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Wow. Al Roker.
Oh, my God.
You know what he's saying, Jorge? You know what Al Roker's saying?
What is it?
Come at me.
Come at me.
Come at me.
That is like a guy who's been doing it for a long time, and he sees these younger reporters out there in the field doing their live shots, and he's like, let me show you a live shot from a hurricane, okay? Like, that's good. I still got it. I like that. That's good.
Yeah, I think all that reporting is just ridiculous. Go stand in a safe place. Don't stand where you're absolutely going to get doused. All right, so Donovan Mitchell tweeted this weekend. Here's what he asked. Would you let Mike Tyson punch you in the face for $10 million. Now, Momo, Lindsay, this isn't really for you, but you can speculate about it.
Yeah, we'll just do it very hypothetically.
Jorge, would you let Mike Tyson punch you in the face for $10 million?
Like John Ireland would say, hell no.
Really?
No.
Really?
I can die from one of those punches.
No.
That is generational money, Jorge.
No,
$10 million.
Man,
you're setting up your kid, your kid's
kids. Dude,
I want to be around for my kid.
No, I mean, you'd have like a week or two where you'd have a shiner.
Nah, well, you
probably
never know.
Get knocked out.
You never know. I mean, yeah, probably knocked out and probably stayed.
You got gloves on or is it bare knuckles?
Gloves on.
Oh yeah, come on.
No, heck no. I wouldn't do it. No, Mike
Tyson.
Sign
me up.
No, no way. No thanks.
Totally, I'd do it.
would you want Nev to do it? That's a better question. Would you want your husband Nev to
do it? He could do it.
Do you think he would?
Nev could take a punch. Yeah, I think he would take a punch.
Is Nev a fighter? Has he ever been in a fight?
Nev's got big heart. Not a fighter though. Like he'll try. Like if somebody was coming after us, like if he needed to defend my honor in a parking lot, or somebody was like, you know, trying to steal my
defend your honor,
he would try. He would.
I got dropped like a bag
of
rocks in my one and only fight when I was in fourth grade at Fairfield Little School in Maumee, Fairfield Elementary School in Maumee, Ohio. Got dropped like a bag of rocks by Tom Pierce, otherwise known as Popcorn Head.
Yep.
And never again. Never again. Not my jam. Jorge, let me know when you have that clip.
Hit on Meet the Press and what happened to you there. Let's have it. We can see you right there. I like to call that the Roker stance, you know, standing strong up against the wind. But the water is lapping, slapping around. And at a certain point, it's going to come where the big water hits you. How long?
Look, it's one of these things. And folks on Twitter have been, well, first of all, why is NBC putting him out there? I volunteered to come out here. This is what I do. I've done this for 40 years. Our crews and we all make sure we're safe. We're not going to do something that's going to put ourselves at harm's way.
Right.
As much as I love the weather and I love NBC, I'm not going to risk my life for it. Secondly, a number of people, well, he's too old to be doing this. Well, hey, guess what? Screw you, okay? Try to keep up. Keep up, okay?
Yeah!
Okay, I got to give Al Roker credit.
That's awesome.
That is an excellent response to even what I just said off the top of my head a few minutes ago. I think we're talking about the same live report. It was ridiculous, but he says, keep
good for
up.
Al.
Screw you. I like Al Roker. On my positive list, on my good list now. All right, coming up next, speaking of good, it is Radio Tinder. You know what I people ask me.
Screw you.
When you go on vacation, Mason, what do you miss the most? And I always say Radio Tinder.
And it is. And you know what I next, say?
What?
Tell him now.
What do you? Yes.
Well, hey, guess what? Screw you.
Radio Tinder is coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Blah. Lindsay, go ahead. Promote your Instagram.
Wait, you went from loving promoting my Instagram to now like, blah, 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 blah.
You know why? Because you told me you liked it better when I went, blah, blah, blah. So I'm giving you what that. You want.
You know what I think? I think I'm going to take a page out of Al Roker's book here. Screw you. Screw you.
Good.
Jorge,
right.
That was the part where
doing
you played
this. Well,
for.
Hey, guess what? Screw you.
Right. Thank you, Al Roker. Thank you, Al Roker. All right. Lynch, what do you got today?
So, Mace, your favorite, I think Pink is your favorite performing artist, right?
I think
you said that.
She's awesome, yeah.
All right, so Pink is raising concerns about the sexualization of teen stars on the internet and finger-pointing their moms and dads. She wrote on Twitter, quote, "How many kids like Piper Raquel are being exploited by their parents? And at what point do the rest of us say, this isn't okay for a 13-year-old to be posting in a bikini while her mother takes the photo? Piper Raquel, if you didn't know, is a singer and a dancer who celebrated her 14th birthday earlier this month, and she has more than 8 million YouTube subscribers. Raquel fired back at Pink's tweet saying, there's nothing wrong with being in a bikini. Why do we shame people for that? Pictures of teenagers in bikinis having fun are not sexual. They're only sexual if you view us that way. Well, most people on Twitter seem to agree with Pink, saying that the tone and the poses Piper's bikini pics are a little bit suggestive.
Yeah.
So do you agree with Pink? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left. Completely agree with Pink on this. I mean, she's a little girl.
So that would be swipe right, just so you know.
Oh, if I agree with Pink?
Yeah, then you're swiping
right.
Okay,
swipe right. Thank you. I've always confused with the left and right. I agree with Pink. I mean, you're basically sexualizing a 14-year-old girl. And there's a proper age to put up bikini pictures. 14 is not it at all. And I think the parents are absolutely reprehensible for doing it. Momo, what do you think?
Yeah, I need to see the pictures first. Are they really bad?
It's just a little girl in a bikini.
And her mom is taking the pictures.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, I guess I'm one of those that feel like we're just letting kids grow. We're just forcing kids to grow up so fast these days. And like, I just go back to how old I was, you know, when I was 13. There's no way I would want to be in this kind of.
You know, I have friends that won't even let their kids have a Twitter account when they're 14 years old. And I think it's probably the right thing.
Yeah.
I think that like 16 is probably like, if I had a kid, I don't think I would want them to have social media until they were 16. I feel like anything younger than that is probably, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like that's a little bit much. I think, you know, 15, 16, that's probably where I would draw the line. What about you guys?
Oh God. You know, I think they should stay off of it for as long as possible.
It is such
a terrible place for a teenager. I cannot imagine being a kid and staring at how many likes you have and whether you got likes or not and people tweeting you nasty things. I mean, I think it's really, really rough. I would try to put it off as long as possible. 16 seems about right. What do you think, Momo? When will you allow Daniel to be on social media?
I think maybe a little tiny bit earlier, than 16, but it's different because this is going to sound bad, but he's a boy.
Right.
You know, and
it's brutal on little girls. You're absolutely right.
I think it's worse for girls. I don't know. But I think I would really censor his internet, his Instagram. I don't want him on Instagram posting, you know, that kind of stuff when he's that young.
Right.
That just feels like it ruins kids. I don't know that I feel so bad for this generation because there's no way I could have grown up with in a healthy way with this kind of stuff.
I would have absolutely hated it if I was a kid. It has to be awful. All right, Linz, what do you got?
All right, guys. So former NFL quarterback Trent Dilfer, he is now a high school football coach in Nashville, and he apologized over the weekend after a heated confrontation with one of his players went viral. Who are you calling over there, Momo?
I'm trying to turn the ringer off. I'm on my phone. I don't know how to turn it off.
He just sounded like you're dialing numbers.
No, I went in the other room because it was ringing, and then I woke my mom up because she's taking a nap.
Okay,
I
mean, enough.
Just all over the place here.
I'm sorry. I was just trying to call attention to her sounding like she made a call. Anyway.
Sorry.
Yes.
All right, so Trent Dilfer, this video of him and one of his high school players went viral over the weekend. He's the head coach at Lipscomb Academy, and his interaction was caught on video yelling at and shoving one of his players on the sidelines during a 62-7 win on Friday night. It's unclear what sparked Dilfer's strong reaction, but here's what his statement said in part. Quote, I take full responsibility as the head coach and leader of our team for not de-escalating an emotional situation with one of our players, Bo Dawson. Bo is one of the finest student athletes and embodies all the characteristics we're looking for in our Mustang players. Bo plays the game with the right kind of passion and is an inspiration to our other players. End quote. Do you think that Trent Dilfer's actions with his player even warranted an apology statement? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe whatever way it means that I agree that he went too far with this kid.
All right, so you're swiping right on his actions, warranting an apology statement.
Correct.
Okay.
I agree. I thought he went too far, particularly. I didn't know they were up 62-7. I mean, what could be emotional and heated in a 62-7 win? He grabbed the kid by his jersey. He pushed him backwards. It's not like the worst thing in the world. It's not like he's abusing the kid, but I don't understand why you grab a kid by the jersey and push him the way he did in a 62-7 win. I think the apology is appropriate.
I think the apology is appropriate, and I hate when coaches get this out of control. Like, I used to have a coach at my high school who was like this, like literally could see the veins popping out of her neck. She was screaming at us so much, and I was like, dude, it is not that serious. This is a high school girls basketball game. Like, come on now, you know? And it messed me up. Like, you know, it's okay to be mad. It's okay to, like, bench me. It's okay to coach. Or you can even yell. But there's a level of yelling and there's a level of, like, trying to get somebody's attention that's not okay.
Yeah, I mean, he was friggin' angry. I mean, he was real – I don't know what the kid did, and obviously – he's now got nice things to say about him, but boy, he was as pissed off as I've seen a high school coach in a really long time. So I think the apology is appropriate. What do you think, Lynn?
I think that I don't think that he did anything that, like, if I were the parent of that boy, I wouldn't be offended and I wouldn't expect an apology or be mad. I'd think that, like he said, it was an emotional situation and that he could have done a better job de-escalating it, but then again, you're in the middle of a game, and there's sports, and emotions are high.
And you're up 62-7.
Sure. Well, maybe he was – we don't know the nature of the argument. Maybe the kid just scored another touchdown when he told them to lay off.
Well, now we know. He says he embodies everything that we look for in a player. I mean, if he really is that, why do
you humiliate? He says in an attempt to get our team to play with more discipline.
See, well, you know, whatever the case is, I think
that –
I don't think that he did anything that would make me, like, shock and all, like, oh, my goodness, I could never let him put his hands on my child. Like, it was like he barely grabbed his jersey and he gave him a little push. It wasn't like he shoved him. He didn't knock him down. He didn't put his hands on him, like, forcefully. So I think it's fine. And I think that's just something that goes along with the territory when you're a coach in the middle of a game, regardless of the – I mean, as long as they're not little kids, I think high school, it's perfectly appropriate to have that level of emotion.
All right, agree to disagree. What's next?
Okay. All right. Well, finally, Jake Paul, your best friend, Mace.
I love this guy. What a great guy he is.
Native of Rocky River, right down the street from me. I would have gone to the fight last night had it not been on Sunday night.
Pride of Rocky River,
Yep, Pride of Rocky River. Well, he claims that he earned around $100 million from his win over ex-UFC fighter Tyron Woodley. The YouTube star sealed a points victory after an 8-round slugfest with the former UFC champ. While many think that Paul probably made far less than the $100 million that he claims, Paul did reportedly share a large portion of the fight purse with all the fighters on the undercard, saying that he was happy to give them the biggest payday of their fighting careers. Now, if you remember, Paul's been very vocal about fighters in UFC and MMA and boxing, you know, being underpaid, and is hoping that he can help change the industry to get these guys paid, especially in UFC. Does this aspect of trying to get fighters fair pay make you think a little bit differently of Jake Paul? Swipe left or swipe right?
I guess it does. I mean, I don't think he made $100 million. I think that's a load of bleep.
Screw you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he did. The fact that he is compensating the other fighters on the card, I mean, what can you say about him? That's a nice thing to do, right? I mean, I'm not a Jake Paul fan, the pride of Rocky River. I don't think Rocky River should be proud of Jake Paul. I mean, I just think he's a terrible, terrible person. But the fact that he shared his money, good for him.
Yeah, Mama, look, to me, Jake Paul, he's not a bad boxer. Like, most of the guys who do these sort of stunt celebrity fights are not good. They're like when Nate Robinson did it. I mean, Jake Paul was way better.
Poor Nate Robinson.
Right? Yeah, I mean, like, he made some money on that. Most of this stuff is just stunt, you know, stunt fights, whatever, and they're one-offs, and somebody gets a little cash for it. What's that always on Versus? People fight each other or something?
The rap battles, those are great.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes they're fights, whatever. I mean, it's just, look, people will pay to watch things. And Jake Paul, love him or hate him, whatever it is, you got to respect him a little bit as a boxer now. I mean, like, Woodley's a legit fighter. And whether or not he lost his last four fights and let his contract.
Is he, though?
He was.
He was a UFC champion, Mace.
Yeah, I know. He was, but not necessarily a striker, right?
He wasn't known for his striking and his boxing, but he was still a UFC champ, and it takes some skill to be able to do that.
It does.
Especially when he trained for years and years and years, and Jake Paul was like kind of, you know, he's pretty new to the scene. He's only been training for a couple of years now.
Yeah, I don't think he'll take
it. He obviously gets himself in shape.
Yeah.
No question. He won't. Yeah, or get hurt. Yeah. But, like, the truth is he's making money. He's creating attention. I mean, I respect that he at least takes it seriously, and I would say he's not bad. He's not bad. He beat a legitimate guy this time.
Yeah.
Michael did say last week when we asked him about it that if he beats Tyron Woodley, then I think he has some credibility in my book. And Michael is like the biggest boxing fan.
He's the biggest boxing fan around. Yeah.
So we'll have to ask him about it this Wednesday. But I think the fact that Michael thought that if he beats him, and then he has some credibility in my book, and the fact that he's trying to make a change, he's trying to make a difference in UFC, and he's calling out Dana White for basically stealing all the money that he makes off of these fighters, because they're not allowed to get their own endorsements. They're not allowed to sign any independent endorsements with other companies. They have to endorse the brands that UFC approves of and UFC brokers. Otherwise, they basically get blackballed and they're not allowed to fight anymore. So
well,
I think that what he's doing is
way
good.
At the top of food chain. You're allowed to get that stuff, but
you still have to broker it through UFC. Yeah, if you're like Francis Ngannou, that's a whole other conversation.
Right.
But the fact that you've got a lot of these guys on the undercards with that, they're not making crap. They're making like 25 grand, maybe something like that a fight, and they're training the entire year for that one fight, and that's all the money they're making. That doesn't even pay for their training, their diet, their nutrition, like their equipment and everything. So I think the fact that he's trying to make a difference and kind of put his money where his mouth is, I think that also says a lot about, like, who he is as a person. Maybe he's not as bad as we thought.
Maybe he's evolving as a person. All right. Linz, is that it?
Yes, that is it for Radio Tinder today. And make sure that you follow me on Instagram and Twitter at LindsayBaseball.
Blah, 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 blah. All right. Hey, coming up next for you, I'll tell you how Andrew Friedman is screwing up this really important week for the Dodgers. Plus, Nevin, Momo's husband, wants to weigh in on whether or not he'd be willing to take a punch for Mike Tyson for $10 million. That is coming up next for you. Nev will be on the show. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.